All the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Do you hide your business from your customers? Of course not. But if you're not marketing your business on the internet, you're not only hidden from your potential customers, well, you don't exist at all. Top Dog Promotions should be your choice for creating a website at a price you can afford, and you don't have to wait days or weeks for changes or updates to your site. Top Dog Promotions prides itself on prompt service and will work within your budget. They'll work closely on getting results with your website. Real Country 1430 WRDN chose Top Dog Promotions for its new website, and your business should too. More info at topdogpromotions.net and see the websites created for businesses like Real Country.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump and Britain's Prime Minister Keir Starmer sitting down in the Oval Office ahead of talks, talking about trade and ending the war in Ukraine. The president says Ukraine's President Zelensky will be at the White House tomorrow, and they are nearing a deal on mineral rights, but wouldn't talk about the rest.
We're very well advanced on a deal, but we have not made a deal yet, so I don't like to talk about peacekeeping until we have a deal. I like to get things done.
Federal workers still in the crosshairs with more layoffs and cuts coming. President Trump indicated they may slash the Environmental Protection Agency workforce by 65%. Fired USAID workers allowed back into the building in Washington, D.C. today for 15 minutes to gather their personal belongings. Two-time Oscar winner Gene Hackman was found dead along with his wife and their dog inside their New Mexico home. Authorities say it's being investigated as suspicious. Gene Hackman was 95. This is ABC News. Authorities in New Mexico are investigating the deaths of legendary movie actor Gene Hackman, his wife, and one of their dogs. Police executed a search warrant at their home and say both appeared to be dead for some time and were found in different rooms. ABC's Alex Stone has the latest.
The autopsies will hopefully answer some of this. That could be weeks down the road if they do toxicology. The investigation, if they find any signs of a leak, right now they have not found any. They don't know what this was yet. Based on these documents and this search warrant that we now have, they don't know if this was carbon monoxide poisoning. They are looking at it. That still seems like probably the most likely scenario, but they've got to look at everything. It is suspicious, and they got to figure out why they died.
Star power heading to space. Blue Origin announcing today that Gail King and Katy Perry will be on board New Shepard's next human flight. The launch date set for spring. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Progressive knows we all crave validation.
Girl, you are not 37.
I would have guessed 27.
You guys are too sweet.
Sure. Dewy skin.
Terrific. Is something wrong, Ned?
Why would you ask? Just because today marks my 10th anniversary without a car accident or even a speeding ticket? But somehow, tonight's all about your skincare.
Wow. With Snapshot from Progressive, you can get a personalized rate based on how you drive. And that's all the validation you need. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliate. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
What if your business could see beyond what is and into what can be? What if you could create more impact in every decision? What if you had a partner as visionary as you are? With Bank of America, you get access to our trusted experts, real-time insights, and digital tools. So whether you run a local shop or a global enterprise, you're backed by business solutions to make every move matter. What would you like the power to do? Find out how at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank sponsor of FIFA World Cup 2026.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. A Republican-authored bill would require sheriff's offices in Wisconsin to seek proof of citizenship for those under felony arrest. ACLU of Wisconsin Advocacy Director Amanda Merkway says that would criminalize people who are not yet convicted felons.
And all of them run the risk of being deported through some contact with the criminal legal system. AB 24 forces law enforcement into harmful roles that they were never meant to play. Tools of mass deportation under threat of losing shared revenue funding.
Local governments would lose 15% of state revenue if sheriffs don't comply with the mandate. Governor Tony Evers has promised to veto any legislation containing such cuts. The bill had a public hearing at the Capitol Wednesday. Republican lawmakers in Madison have set to work on a new two-year state budget. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says Governor Evers vetoed 95% of tax cuts they included in the previous budget.
Which is the basic reason that we have this massive surplus right now in our state budget. So we're not going to use that surplus to grow the size of government. We're going to use it to reduce taxes.
Evers has proposed a variety of tax cuts. He also wants to raise the top state tax bracket to 9.8% on income of more than $1 million for married couples and single filers. Voss says that's not happening. Wisconsin health official says there's been some concerning communication pauses between the Trump administration's CDC and state and local public health agencies. In a newsmaker's interview with the Wisconsin Eye, state public health veterinarian Dr. Darlene Conkle says the various state agencies are coordinating to keep track of bird flu.
We've been able to maintain a national picture of what's going on with bird flu in humans. It also has not altered our commitment to partnering within our state.
The first and thus far only human case of bird flu in Wisconsin was reported in Barron County in December.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
The Durand Improvement Group is committed to improving Durand's quality of life through involvement in our community. From Fun Fest to Music in the Park, Durand Dazzle Holiday, and more, the Durand Improvement Group's mission is to strengthen area businesses and improve our community welfare. DIG is open to all members of the community, not just businesses. You can help. Visit DurandImprovementGroup.org and become an individual member of the Durand Improvement Group today. This message is a public service of Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and still mild today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s. But it's becoming breezy, with winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour today, and they'll whip tomorrow up to 40 miles per hour. This as a cold front slams through the state, and it may spark up a few snow showers. BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. It's 43 degrees at our studios.
Complex pushed to the upside.
Live down on the upside via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon we feature a conversation with Jamie Kowacki from Paragon Investments. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Torrey.
You know, the sooner we can end this week, the better.
You ready? You
over? I am ready for this week to be done.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is... It has turned into a technical sell-off in this wheat trade.
Uh-huh.
It's having the same impact on the corn market. Modest losses in the soy complex, but there's some technical damage that is being done in the soy complex as mm-hmm. well. So it has been a rough week in here. Rough week.
Maybe this is why we quit doing so many shows like at the same time, you know, on the same day and everything there for a while. Maybe it was to avoid this kind of thing, you know?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You go running off over there and I go running off over there and, you know, Chip's not here today. Davis isn't here today. The markets were fine, you know?
Yeah, everything was fine.
Was
maybe
great.
We just need to take some more time off.
A little more vacay.
Vacay would probably mm-hmm. help everybody out. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Yeah, tough day. Tough day in the markets. And you know, I look at a 4-cent loss in the soybean market and think, hey, that's not so bad. And it's not. It's not when you compare it to the 10, 12-cent loss that we saw in the corn trade and even deeper losses in the wheat market today. But boy, if you want to feel good for the bulls out there, if you want to feel good, just go on over to the cattle market. Lower trade in the corn helped the feeder cattle, and the feeder cattle helped the fat cattle, and everything is you know, here we go in the cattle trade again is what it looks like.
Yeah, and let's not forget to mention, we talked about it. I'm sure it'll come up. USDA's Ag Outlook Forum.
Yeah.
They sent some projections out into the ether here
earlier this morning. So maybe there's a little something to that, too.
You bet. We're going to talk to Jamie Kwocki about that. Jamie's with Paragon Investments, and looking forward to getting Jamie in here and breaking down those projections and what they might mean for us going forward. So
yeah, cool.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and get to the news. What do you got?
Well, Chip, the slide in wheat futures accelerated with futures posting another high range open and a low range close. July soft red winter wheat futures have closed lower each day this week, and today closed at the lowest level since January 28. July SRW did spike support at the February 3rd low of 575.5 before recovering to close slightly above that level. Export sales of wheat in the weekend of February 20 totaled 269,000 metric tons. That fell short of trade expectations. Taiwan and Mexico were the top buyers there. The lack of a bullish headline from the USDA Ag Outlook Conference also chased buyers out of the wheat market today. July HRW wheat futures were 13 and three quarters lower today at 597.5. July SRW down 17 cents to 576 and three quarters. July spring wheat futures closed at 618 and three quarters, down 13 and one half cents, Chip.
Yeah, they see a higher wheat carryover at the end of the year. What do we got here? 826 is the projection from USDA chief economist Seth Myers. That would be up from 794 at the end of the current marketing year. So that year-to-year trend in carryover was a big negative on the market today.
Well, export sales of corn in the weekend of February 20 totaled 795,000 metric tons. That was below trade expectations. USDA look for the 2025 growing season for corn with 94 million planted acres and a 25-26 corn carryover at 1.965 billion bushels was a negative for corn prices today, but much of the pressure was tied to the sell-off in wheat futures and the exiting of long positions ahead of the end of the month. July corn futures broke out to the downside and closed below support at 490 for the first time since Jan 16. July corn has closed lower for five consecutive sessions now. May corn futures today were 12 and one half cents lower at 481. July corn down 11 and three quarters to 486 and three quarters. December corn futures closed at 461 and three quarters, down 5¼ cents, Chip.
Yeah, that 1.965 billion bushel corn carryover projection. Let me get this right. Yeah, it would be up 425 million bushels from what is expected at the end of this current marketing year. Stocks to use up to 12.9%. That's just not bullish. That's not bullish.
Well, Chip, losses in the soy complex were modest compared to the drop in corn and wheat. Export sales of soybeans weekend at Feb 20 totaled 411,000 metric tons. That was at least in line with trade expectations. USDA projected 2025 soybean acreage at 84 million acres, down 3.1 million from a year ago. Total use is expected to increase from this year, drawing bean carryover down to 320 million bushels at the end of the 25-26 marketing year. The outlook for lower bean carryover had the soy complex trading higher at mid-morning. July bean futures opened slightly lower and rallied before reversing to close near session lows. And at the lowest level since January 16, there's that date again, Chip. May beans 4 cents lower, 10.37¼. July down 4¼ to 10.52. Novi beans closed at 10.41¾, down 3¾ cents. Beaners kind of hung in there a little bit, buddy, compared to the others.
Exactly. And we'll talk to Jamie about that. But I think what it is they've got total use. USDA on the balance sheet had total use for 25-26. Up 100 million bushels, well, 101 million bushels from the current year estimate. So that bigger use probably limited the losses in that bean trade.
Well, cotton export sales of 167,000 running bales were 35% below the four-week average. USDA projected cotton plantings at 10 million acres in 2025. That's just above trade expectations. Ending stocks also expected to be about steady with this year at 4.8 million bales. Let's see. I've got December cotton today down just 8 points, 68.67. And looking over at July stocks, beef export sales, 18,200 metric tons, slightly ahead of the four-week average. But boxed beef prices were firm this morning, and feeder cattle rallied on the drop in corn prices. April fat cattle were a buck and a half higher today, 196.12 and a half. March feeders $2.07 higher at $276.45. And on the snout side, pork export sales in the weekend of February 20 of 32,200 metric tons, in line with the four-week average. However, technical selling pulled the rug out from under lean hog futures, with the April contract plunging to the lowest level since October 16. October lean hog futures today down $3.92.5, chipped to $84.37.5. The June contract, not much better, down $3.27.5, $97.60. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. In the ag outlook for the meats, cattle and beef production down nearly 2% for the 2025 year at 26.6 billion pounds. So a little bit of a setback there. And then on the pork side of things, up 3% from 2024. Pork exports are expected to be up 3% as well. So a little bit of offsetting in the hog market. But boy, the hog market took that 3% increase in production really, really tough today. All right. Thank you, Davis. We've got Jamie Kwocki, Paragon Investments, up next here on AgriTalk.
When you're a grower, a land loan is more than money. It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money, borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Something special is happening in America's cornfields. It's called Invita. Invita allows all crops to fix their own nitrogen and reduce fertilizer. It's helped farmers grow millions of acres of corn with less nitrogen. And less nitrogen is good for the corn, good for our farmers, and good for our planet. Invita's sustainable technology helps farmers maximize profitability with guaranteed results, which makes Invita an investment that's good for us all. Learn more at azotic.com/investor. That's azotic.com/investor.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
There's no such thing as too much caring. That's why Gunderson Health System and Bellin Health have come together to form Amplify Health. The same doctors you trust, the same hospitals and clinics you count on, the same great care, all amplified by an even higher focus on empathy. Amplify Health is more than just a new name. It's a way to make personalized care more personal than ever. Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Thank you for stepping in and having a conversation about what's going on in the markets today on this Thursday afternoon. Just one more day left in February, Davis. One more day.
Let's do it all over again. Let's go back to February 1st. Huh?
No.
No. It'd be fun.
No. You know, if we make, okay, it looks like we did make it to 50 degrees. This is going to be, yes, we did. This is, it's going to make the list of most days at 50 degrees or warmer in February. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a top 5 year or something like that.
It's a midges paradise is what it is.
It's a midges paradise. Uh-huh. That is exactly right. Fish love this time of the year. All right. Let's bring in Jamie Kawaki, Paragon Investments. Jamie, it is good to talk to you again. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing real good, real good. You know, 50 degrees down there in Kansas, you're probably looking at something in the 70s today, aren't you?
My computer says 62, but it feels like it's in the 70s. All the snow is gone and completely opposite of where we were last week at this time.
Man, oh, man. Last week at this time, we were trying to recover from some really, really cold conditions down there. That's for sure. Okay. Geez, walk me back from the cliff on this wheat trade, Jamie. Tell me something good.
Not really much out there good this whole week with the wheat market. We've seen the dollar kind of rally as well. Weekly exports were disappointing. There really wasn't anything at all in the outlook numbers there. Easiest path remains lower. And I think you're going to start to see, you know, fund money start to build a little larger short position here. Don't really have any major issues going on over in parts of Asia either right now.
So, you know, I'm thinking of a line from Armageddon right now. So just the worst possible scenario possible.
I think we could very easily go back down and test those recent lows, and we'll see if there's any fresh acceleration through there. I think we'll have to have some type of more bearish news than we have now to do that.
Okay. Talk to me about managing emotions in a market like this, because as you can tell, I'm looking at it and just thinking, jeepers, criminy, I have no idea what's going to save this market the way that it has rolled over. You got to get rid of those kinds of emotions in, when you're making marketing decisions, don't you?
Yeah, you're exactly right, and that's probably the hardest part of marketing is one day it looks great, and then 24 hours later, you're upside down and, you know, you left a ton of money on the table. And it looks like that in corn, where Trump yesterday said terrorists were going on in April. And then he said this morning, no, they're still scheduled for next week. And it just really wrecked the market. Fund liquidation. Funds are probably going to be short beans after today's trade. And they've been that way since before Christmas.
Yeah. You know, people have been, and I'm one of the people that I'm talking about when I say this, talking about the amount of uncertainty that the markets are having to deal with because of, you know, yesterday with the flipping and the flopping of the date on the tariffs, some, you know, are the tariffs on, are the tariffs not? Issues like that. You know, but it almost feels like the chaos is kind of by design, isn't it, Jamie?
It does seem like that to me. You could even throw in the hog market, you know, kind of with it right now with the tariffs, as Mexico does buy a lot of pork. And just last month on the weekly sheets, they were as high as 1/3 of the weekly purchases. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, rubber band literally getting snapped from one end to the other, you know, every single news cycle.
Yeah. So how does the lack of clarity, the lack of certainty in the markets, how does that impact what you're doing on risk management?
I think it impacts it a lot, you know, per like you're saying, a lot of fear, you know, is like, do we do it today? Do we have time to wait? You know, usually the high is in June. Is it going to be like that again this year? But then you throw in all the wild cards from DC, you throw in the bumper crop down in South America. You look at the weekly exports today, came in the low side of the range. And Trump's for a strong dollar, you know, that's more headwind too to exports.
Yeah.
But what I try to tell my guys a lot is trade price, you know, and just trade your farm, you know, and who cares what Chicago is doing, trade your neighborhood basis and trade price.
Yeah, boy, that's good counsel right there. You've got to break it down and make it as simple and as localized as you can when you're making those marketing decisions. That's good counsel, dude. Let's talk a little bit about the Ag Outlook Conference today and some of the numbers that we got in the projections from USDA, the chief economist Seth Meyer. Corn, 94 million planted. The trade was looking for 93.6. Trade was also looking at 181.4 on the national average yield, and I think they showed us a 181. So the production side of thing is right in there at 15.4, 15.5 billion bushels. There's no major surprises there on the supply side of that balance sheet, is there?
Absolutely not. I think, it was pretty much expected, 94 and 84 for the beans. I didn't see a real big knee-jerk reaction off of those.
Yep. Yeah, the 84 million on the on soybeans, the average guess going into the Outlook Conference was 84.4. So it's under what the trade was anticipating, but it doesn't feel like it's enough to really change attitudes there. Let's talk about the trends in carryover. Ending stocks on corn up to 1.965. This year's at 1.54. 425 million bushels more of corn moves that stocks to use ratio from 10.2% up to 12.9%. I said it when Davis was giving us the numbers in the news. That's not bullish, is it?
Absolutely not. We still need more than that. Also, lots of speculation that this may be the lowest acres estimate that we get as well until the June number. And they lowered the prices by 10 cents in both corn and beans, too. Mm-hmm. And to me, I mean, this just creates a lot of headwind. And you go back to where we were before, you throw in the tariffs, you throw in the strong dollar. And these rallies are going to be short-lived unless we see something drastic with weather.
Yeah. They added 70 million bushels to the total corn use. All of that is in the feed and residual. They held ethanol steady at 5.5, and then they took 50 million out of the export number for the net 70 increase on total use. I don't know. Ethanol steady at 5.5, does that make sense?
The ethanol numbers have been decent until really this last week, and we start to saw the numbers drop off there. I think on that 5.5 figure, I think that's probably the wild card, number. Do we get over 2 billion carryout again or not would be based off of that. I think the export number probably, maybe gets worse as well, too. We'll see how the second crop comes on down in Argentina. They had roughly 3 inches of rain last week.
Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out. But to me, we're probably stuck here in a pretty tight trading range.
Okay. All right. So what is your outlook on this corn trade right now, Jamie?
I think there's roughly about another 10 cents down. At those levels, you do run into some key moving averages, and I think that'll provide support. And in the meantime, it's let a lot of managed money out and a lot of long liquidation from specs out. So we'll be oversold and due for a correction by then.
Okay. Since we are, another dime in downside, that suggests let's just kind of put our hands in our pockets right now and wait and see how it performs when we get down there.
Yeah, we'll see that. We'll see how the managed money, really starts to react to. They've been in heavy liquidation mode with first notice date tomorrow. And we saw, the March get, clobbered off of that again today. But we'll see that exports next week, too. Did these lower prices attract any fresh buying?
Okay. All right. Just got this question for you on a DM. Is Jamie ready to buy corn calls on sales we've got on the books?
Yeah, I mean, I like it to buy some calls roughly 10 cents lower from where we closed at today and go out there and buy them in the July contract is where I would be.
Okay. All right. And then if those are on new crop, just use some short-dated calls?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. All right. We're going to talk more about what the numbers that we got from USDA today. We got to dig into some of those, and we'll keep talking about what's going on the risk management side of things. We're into a time right now where you got to be really careful on your decision making and be very thoughtful. That's what we're trying to do today in the conversation with Jamie Kwocki, Paragon Investments.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 13¾ cents lower at 597.5. July SRW down 17 cents to 576¾. May corn futures were 12½ cents lower at 481. December corn futures closed at 461¾. That's down 5¼ cents. May soybean futures were 4 cents lower at 10.37¼. November beans closed at 10.41¾. That's down 3¾ cents today. December cotton, 8 points lower, 68.67. On your livestock, April fats, 1½ higher at 196.12½. March feeders, 207½ higher at 276.45. And look out for lean hogs, the April contract down 392½ to 84.37½. Try ProFarmer.com.
Looking for outdoor power equipment for your lawn and garden projects? Anibis Silo is your home for Husqvarna and Toro lawn and garden equipment. Anibis Silo has the right equipment solution for you to tackle any job. Need a piece of equipment repaired? Anibis Silo also now has small engine service and repair. The service staff can repair all makes and models of lawn and garden equipment. Visit Anibis Silo, Highway 25, Durand, for your lawn and garden equipment needs.
It's a Wisconsin tradition, so start spreading the word whether you've been farming a little while or all your life. It's time to celebrate and see what's new with Wisconsin's oldest tradition. Join us for the 61st Annual Eau Claire Farm Show March 4th and 5th at the Chippewa Valley Conference Center. Free admission both days. Don't miss this event to celebrate one of Wisconsin's oldest traditions. The 61st Annual Eau Claire Farm Show March 4th and 5th with free admission from 9 to 3:30 both days at the Chippewa Valley Conference Center.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and still mild today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s. But it's becoming breezy, with winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour today, and they'll whip tomorrow up to 40 miles per hour. This as a cold front slams through the state, and it may spark up a few snow showers. BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. It's 43 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation with Jamie Kwaki, Paragon Investments, here on AgriTalk. We went through the corn balance sheet from the USDA Ag Outlook Forum. I want to jump over to soybeans here. Jamie, 84 million on the planted acres, 83.2 on the harvested, 52.5 on the yield, which I think is maybe a bit optimistic in this environment. But basically, we're looking at a crop steady with what we had this past year, right?
That is correct. The only number that caught my eye on the soybean ledger was the usage number.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing that I think kept a little bit of support underneath the market today. But even looking at some broader, or the broader picture, we're still roughly $20 to $25 per ton higher than South America is right now. And we saw a lot on the weekly sheet how slow the sales were, and there's speculation, you know, how nasty the tariffs get next week. Or are we going to start to see cancellations?
Yeah. Okay, we've mentioned the tariffs a couple of times, and every time we do, the question pops into my head, and I don't know if it's fair to ask you or not, but I'm going to ask you, and if you don't have an answer for me, that's fine. Do you think he's going to put them on?
No, I do not. I think Canada and Mexico will cave in this weekend, and I think China will negotiate behind the scenes, and I'll just postpone that.
All right. Well, so if we get to Sunday night and we don't have those tariffs or the negotiations, whatever you want to call it, are happening over the weekend, maybe we can get some of today's losses back, huh?
Yeah, I think you'd be exactly right with that. You know, kind of see a little bit of knee-jerk reaction, you know, kind of get back to normalcy, you know, without these, you know, whipsawed markets one day, then breaking out the next day, and really see, you know, the harvest yet coming out of South America with the beans every 168 or every 170, you know, and not have to worry about the geopolitics so much.
All right. Good. Ending stocks on soybeans this year is projected or estimated at 380 million. For next year, 320 million. The stocks to use goes from 8.7% down to 7.2%. That 7.2% stocks to use ratio, it may not be all that bullish, but it's not negative either, is it?
Absolutely not. I mean, we're still relatively tight there. Not a whole lot of margin, you know, for error. I agree with you on the yield number. I mean, that's pretty lofty, and I think that'll probably get adjusted lower. You look at longer term forecast too. I mean, north of I-80 is very, very dry. You know, down here where I am, we've had the most moisture in probably 50 years for this time of the year. And we'll see how these weather patterns switch or not. Does the majority of the moisture stay south this year?
Okay. All right, excellent. We talked a little bit about wheat earlier. I just want to hit a couple of the numbers. Area planted, 47 million. Yield at 50.1, production of 1.926, off about 50 million bushels from where we were a year ago. Ending stocks number is estimated for the current year at 794 million bushels, projected 2025-26, up to 826 million bushels. Now, the stocks to use, these are going to sound crazy lofty to a corn and soybean guy, but stocks to use for the current year, 39.6, projected up to 41.2 for the next marketing year. I'm having a hard time finding a bullish number there.
I agree with you completely. To me, it looks like we're sliding on lower, maybe another 10 to 15 cents down, kind of where we started this last rally from. But really don't have a story at all going here unless we run into more decisive weather issues, maybe in Russia and or parts of Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. Can a Russian headline change this market?
Absolutely. I think okay. You can change it, you know, in one trading session.
Wow. Okay, good. Good. It just feels like the market has become a little more numb to the headlines coming out of Russia, but we still got to pay attention to it. There's no question about it. Tell me, I got to back up to, you gave us a nice summary of your wheat thoughts there. I got to back up to beans just real quick. Tell me the story on how these beans are going to trade.
I think the beans are going to be more of a range-bound type trade, buying the breaks. We've seen the managed money exit maybe a tad bit short after today. I don't think they build a big short position at all. I think they flip back and forth, long and short. But I still think there's a story yet an old crop to be buying the breaks, looking for demand to, you know, creep back into the market until we get more into a, you know, full-blown, you know, export market with Brazil, which is around the corner.
All right. All right. What do you want to do with new crop beans at 1040?
Yeah, our target was 1060 to 1080 to start some there. And I don't like selling down here around 1040. There's plenty of time to see more weather yet.
Okay.
And I think you can retest these highs yet and make some sales back at this 1060, 1065 area.
Yep, yep. So I know you've been listening to some of the weather forecasts out there. They also, it doesn't really matter which direction or how they're, the path that they're taking to get there. Everybody seems to be landing at the same spot right now, Jamie, with the, you know, look out. It could be a drier bias this year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, the longer term maps all point to, you know, the bullseye of moisture being south of I-80 this year, closer to even I-70. And, you know, if that's the case, it's obviously the best growing conditions in the world that are going to take the, you know, the top end off the crop maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Corn, I got to believe, would be sensitive to any kind of a threat. Beans? After today's numbers, I guess they'd have to be sensitive to a threat too, huh?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think the beans would probably be a little slower to react, but eventually probably climb more. But yeah, I think both of them would be primed up, you know, ready to go.
Yeah, if we lose the wheat crop, does it matter? That's terrible. That is terrible. I should not have said that.
Well, we very easily could. I mean, I don't think we've really priced in from all these hard freezes that we've had. And we won't know probably that, you know, middle to late April, but there's a lot of damaged wheat down here.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Yeah. And hey, to every wheat grower out there that just cringed when I said that, I am sorry. It's a thought that popped into my head. And I'm just looking for reasons for this wheat market to gain some strength in here. Okay, you mentioned that the hog market did not like the talk of the tariffs. Good grief. If there's a market that needs some good news on that tariff side, it is the hogs. What do you make of how they're trading?
I mean, just a nasty, ugly trade. Technically, it looks like there's a couple bucks more down. But, you know, say they do go through Monday morning with the tariffs, like I said earlier, you know, Mexico has been in for roughly about a third of the weekly exports. China does buy pork, too, and they've slowed down a little bit. But this is a very dicey situation in here. You know, with the hogs, we pretty much erased this whole rally that we saw late last fall.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to me about the summer month contracts. Where do you want to establish downside risk or coverage in those summer month contracts?
Yeah, I'd like to, you know, get these summer hogs back up to the 102 area.
Yeah,
and, you know, come in and start to do something then with puts and or just selling the board.
Yep. I like that level too. I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, I thought that I was going to, that we were going to say that the buyers have just decided to exit the cattle trade. But boy, you give them a little bit of a reason and they come running right back to it, Jamie. I'm pretty impressed.
I am too, especially in the feeders. I mean, they snapped right back. You know, the cash trade was ugly last week. Feeders came right back this week, 4 to 6 higher down south over to the live cattle. You know, we're trading 197, 199, you know, probably just right where we expected at. And they finally held in today, but the feeder cattle market is where it is. And I think they can continue to rally here short term.
Yeah. Jamie, how is this market even, how well does it work for managing risk when it seems like the cash has been trading at a premium for so long? Does it work to use the futures markets to manage risk?
Not at these current price levels. It doesn't. I mean, live cattle really need to put on about $10 to get up to where a lot of the break-evens are. And you throw in, you know, like you're saying, the basis and everything, and it's a losing situation right now with any type of hedging strategies.
Yep, And the cattle crush, you put that on there right now. And you know, well, maybe it's better after what the corn market has been through the past couple of days. Maybe you can pencil it out easier. But when you're buying feeders right now, aren't you – I mean, you're betting on a rally in the live cattle to make some money,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Like I tell guys, you know, I mean, it may be easier if you're that bullish just own the futures right now than tie up, you know, millions and millions of dollars hoping, you know, we do get a $10 rally to hold your money together.
That's right. That's right. Oh, man. You know what? We've only got about 40 seconds left. Interest rates. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we've seen a little bit of correction there to the downside. You know, everybody's glued to the 10-year. And if we can get it back down below 4, I think we're in very, very good shape. And I think we'll have it there probably within a year.
Okay. All right. Is the Fed going to try to pull it down?
I do. I don't think it's probably going to go into work. I think the bigger issue still is these deficits, you know, and what can we get a balanced budget and not borrow, you know, $2 trillion again next year?
Yep. I hear you, brother. That hopefully we are headed in the right direction on that. Jamie, great work, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Jamie Kwocki, Paragon Investments. Man, oh, man, we covered some ground there. Hopefully Davis is taking a couple of notes and has a couple of highlights that he wants to talk about. We're going to do that next here on AgriTalk.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Well, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
Think of everything you do to provide for your family. A home, food on the table, healthcare, vacations, and saving for your kids' education. It's all good as long as you're alive, but it's only a drop in the bucket of what they'll need if you die without life insurance. Buying term life insurance is not something you can afford to put off. Call the Term Lifeline now for the lowest possible rates on quality term life insurance. Term life rates are at all-time lows, and we can save you up to 70%. If you already have coverage, you could be paying too much. One call could save you thousands of dollars. We have great rates for smokers, too, or if you have health problems. Providing for today is good, but it's not enough if you die prematurely. Call the Term Lifeline today for a free quote. Protect your family and see if you could save up to 70%.
866-549-TERM. 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 That's 866-549-8376.
Researchers in Illinois have found that gene-edited bacteria can supply nitrogen early in the development of the corn crop. Joining us with more information, Dr. Logan Woodward, researcher on the study. Dr. Woodward, what makes Pivot Bio's approach to nitrogen production unique?
The most unique aspect of our supplying nitrogen is that our microbes are gene-edited, so the only gene-edited microbes that are out there on the market right now. And what's exciting about that is that the nitrogen-fixing process takes energy, and some of your native microbes may just take up nitrogen that's in the soil. And with ours, it is truly getting nitrogen into the plant that we proved in our study, that we're getting nitrogen in the plant that is ultimately derived from the atmosphere. So fixing some of that nitrogen right there on the crop roots and ultimately providing a new source of nitrogen being the air.
All right. So how can farmers adopt Pivot Bio products to improve their nitrogen management strategy?
Yeah, so adopting some of the Pivot Bio's products in your system is relatively simple. We have two application methods, either on seed or applied in furrow with the planter. And, you know, we can apply these alongside with your traditional nitrogen fertilizers and still get the benefit out of them. We need that nitrogen to actually maximize our yields for corn. But we could just ultimately replace some of your more inconsistent pounds of nitrogen. Additionally, it can help on some of the logistics. You can cut out the whole pass of nitrogen, or you can cut down on some of the volume or the pounds and fill up a little bit less often. So you can kind of get to those operations and get them done at a quicker speed. And lastly, we have a excellent agronomy team that will help you tailor your nitrogen fertility program to get the most benefit out of those pounds of nitrogen.
Where can listeners go for more information on this?
You can go to pivotbio.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Woodward. That is Dr. Logan Woodward, Pivot Bio Product Development Agronomist.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
It can be challenging for U.S. farmers to make a profit in the grain markets. Reduce your risk exposure by purchasing professionally produced seed from authorized seed companies and seed dealers. The members of the Seed Innovation and Protection Alliance invest 15% of their sales into product research and development to help farmers like you maximize their crop performance every year. Bringing new seed innovations requires time, extensive research, and farmer partnership, the kind of commitments the seed companies of SEPA are investing in. Thank you for buying new seed and supporting U.S. seed innovation. To anonymously report a seed infringement, call 1-844-SEED-TIP.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal Davis Michelson here along with Chip Flory. Great conversation with Jamie Kowacki from Paragon Investments. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. I have a question, okay, though. We'll get to that. I want to go back to some of this Ag Outlook Forum data here.
Yeah.
I'm looking over here at the ethanol number. I don't think we had it in here. Unchanged, basically. At
5.5 billion bushels.
If USDA expected to see year-round E15, wouldn't that number be higher? Or at least not steady.
Normally I would say, well, Davis, it's complicated, Jordan Fife decomplicated that for us this morning.
Yes, he did,
and basically said, no. Now listen. If we can get the whole country to E15 year-round and we start seeing more of the retailers making the unleaded 88 the standard offering because it's the cheapest fuel available, if that kind of thing happens, I don't know how it wouldn't move higher from there. I mean, you go from E10 to E15, that's a 50% increase in the ethanol in that gallon of fuel. Okay? That has to have an impact. That's why this, you know, Jordan FA, the National Ethanol Conference, for many years, we had Jeff Cooper on the show earlier this week getting some highlights from that conference. But Jordan said, you know, we've been talking about year-round availability across the country for E15 for the last 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
If the momentum is there right now, guys, if you've ever felt the urge to push for something like that and write letters to your lawmakers, I think this would be a good time to do that. because it does feel like there is some momentum that is at least starting to build, and it could lead to something. So bottom line, after listening to Jordan this morning, yes, you've got to be higher than 5.5 billion bushels of corn for ethanol production if that happens.
Okay. Jumping topics here. Apparently, he was all out of lipstick, was Jamie Kawaki, because he said the hogs are nasty and ugly.
Yeah.
There's no lipstick on that.
No, there's, you can't even make a silk purse out of that pig's ear right now. There is
not for profit.
I'm pulling up the chart right now. I got it. But you put it out there and look at it on a year basis, and we had this widening range that was pivoting around the $90 level from 85 up to 95, and we closed below 85 today. When we closed that April contract below 85, it's the lowest level since, I think you got to go back to October. Isn't that what we had? Yeah, you got to go back to October 16th. This is the lowest price that we've seen since then. And we've got that low at the October 16 low at 83.65. Watch that 83.65. If we fall below that, the 75 is your next stop.
Ooh.
Yes. I do not like that at all. At all. Today hurt. And the thing is, Davis, the reason that today hurt as much as it did is because yesterday felt like an upside breakout.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like, hey, there's a reason for this market to go back up and fill that gap that we left. When was that? That gap that we left back on February 19th. The bottom of that gap is at 92.70. The top of that gap, which would be at the February 18 low, is at 93.02.5. So yesterday's trade made me think, here we go. We're going to go back up there and fill that gap. But the rug got pulled out from underneath it today. And it may have been some influence from the Ag Outlook conference, but I think it's more talk of, more the talk, as Jamie was saying, about tariffs and what it might do to disrupt trade.
Here's something interesting. I was just sort of flipping through my copy here. In the corn, yada, 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 for the first time since Jan 16. Here we are in the soybeans, lowest level since Jan 16. And now we've got the hogs. The April contract at the lowest level since when? October 16.
Yeah.
What's with the 16s here, man?
I don't know. But, you know, we had that swing low in the grain markets into the middle of January, and then we started to spruce it up a little bit for the February trade with the spring prices being established. But
if 16 is going to be the new 13. Yeah, if 16 is the new 13, I, as a newsman, need to know these things. You know
I understand.
Did I miss a memo on that?
We will be looking for confirmation tomorrow.
That'd be
National
great.
Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook for March 5th through the 9th calls for above-normal temperatures in the Dakotas, eastern Nebraska, most of Iowa and Minnesota, near-normal temperatures in the rest of the Corn Belt, below-normal precipitation in the Dakotas, northwest Iowa, and western Minnesota, near normal across most of the rest of the Corn Belt. You got to get over to Ohio to get to above normal precip. More above normal temperatures in the 8 to 14 day, March 7th through the 13th. Near normal temperatures in the eastern belt, above normal in the central, near normal to above normal precipitation. Thanks for listening. Come back tomorrow morning. We got a free-for-all. Haney, Morgan, Michelson, and me.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls, and access to research. Interested in consulting? AgMarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Ooh, got a dash light on? The AutoZone free fix finder service can read your check engine, ABS, and other warning lights to help you find the fix. You'll get an easy-to-read report with clear next steps. And we can recommend a trusted local shop if you need one. It's the most complete free warning light report backed by technician-verified fixes. The free fix finder service with shop referral. Only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Doug.
Quickly, Moo. We don't have much time. This Liberty ad is already almost over. We only have a few precious seconds to remind people to customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Okay.
Well, I guess we had more time than I thought.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durant, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durant.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump meeting with Britain's prime minister with tariffs at the top of talks, along with ending the war in Ukraine. The president also mentioning a new reason, he says, for imposing tariffs on the European